Well, hello, everyone. I'm Jill Bloom, publisher of Building Enclosure, and welcome back to the Listening Lounge. We are so honored to be joined today by Frank O'Brien Bernini, the Chief Sustainability Officer at Owens Corning. Holding this role since 2007, Frank leads Owens Corning's commitment to assure its global organization's handprint exceeds its footprint. Welcome, Frank, and it's such an honor to speak with you today.
Hey, Jill. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So let's start off with, I've got a few questions here for you, Frank, but let's start off with sustainability. Sustainability is a term broadly used today, but what does sustainability look like at Owens Corning?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. So at Owens Corning, we think about sustainability as an aspiration to create what we call a net positive company. And you kind of mentioned it in your introduction, where that's a company where the handprint or the positive impact of our people and products exceeds the negative impact. So every day, we're looking for our handprint to grow and our footprint to shrink, so that when we stand back and say, you know, is Owens Corning having a positive impact on the world? We can answer that more positively and more positively, yes, every day as we're measuring that handprint and footprint. And we have very specific goals and aspirations in that area that I'm sure we'll get into as we continue here.
Yeah, it was very exciting to read your 2030 guiding aspiration goals. So I'm excited to hear you talk some more about those. But what sustainability trends are most relevant for today's building projects?
Yeah, so it's really interesting how things have evolved over time. For many years, Owens Corning has been focused on sustainability, specifically as we think about sustainability today, since about 2002. So we've been at this for quite some time, and that was right around the time when the green building programs, specifically USGBC's lead, was just coming onto the marketplace. So we've been at this for a while. And I would say for kind of the beginning, the first 10 or 15 years, there's been a lot of focus on energy efficiency and life safety. So that's kind of how the programs were built to help builders, contractors, architects understand how to build, greener buildings. And those greener buildings were kind of normally focused on energy efficiency. Today, we're seeing kind of a migration that is still massively important. However, people have largely figured out how to build very energy efficient buildings. And so what's kind of pivoting now is a focus on the material systems that are used to make those buildings and a drive to reduce the embodied carbon of those material systems. So not only, is your operational footprint reduced, but the footprint associated with building the buildings is also dramatically reduced. So that's kind of a big trend going on right now. The second big trend that we're seeing is all around circular economy, and kind of everyone is talking about, and when I say everyone, it's the popular media, it's the building industry media, trying to figure out how to keep the materials that are extracted for buildings, but really for all the products we use, how to keep those materials in the economy indefinitely. So when we extract, say, like in our business, we extract sand to make glass that makes the fiberglass that goes into buildings to insulate those buildings, that we figure out how at the end of life, when that building is taken down or remodeled, that those materials can be reclaimed and reused into either the same product that they were used in the beginning or a different product, but kept in the economy forever. So embodied carbon and circular economy are two really large trends that we're seeing now. Then there are some regional ones as well, like, fire protection in the sort of urban wildland interface. So some other areas that are sort of regionally specific, but the big ones are embodied carbon and circular economy right now.
Always makes you feel good when things can be recycled and reused, doesn't it?
So many people recycle personally, right? So if you recycle your your wine bottles and beer bottles and that sort of thing, and your paper and cardboard. That's great. But if you look at like your total imprint on material usage, it's really the big stuff. It's the stuff that is, you know, built the building that you're in right now, built your home. And when that gets remodeled, you know, that's tons of material, not yeah. just your one cart that you're recycling every week.
Sure.
So figuring out how to recycle that is a great, you know, you could think of it as a challenge for the building materials industry. But we like to think of all those challenges as opportunities to bring new business models to figure out how we can make a bigger difference in the world in a way that creates value for our customers and for our company.
Yeah, well, how do you help customers and consumers understand the sustainable performance of your products?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's one that we would like to, and I think everyone would like to get better and better at. But I would say that collaboration, direct collaboration, you can't beat that for having a kind of building conversation with any customer in any one of our businesses to figure out, you know, what they're trying to get done and how through the use of our technology, our materials, our products, we can help them achieve their sustainability goals. It might be a customer that's building an iconic new headquarters for a large company. It might be one of the wind turbine OEMs that are trying to build larger turbines to make more efficient renewable energy. It might be an automotive OEM trying to make lighter vehicles so that they can make their electric vehicles go further. Whatever they're trying to do, I think the way that we find most beneficial is direct collaboration on and shared goals and trying to figure out how we can make a difference together. And we do that in, you know, highly efficient buildings. So, you know, all the way to net zero energy buildings, could be through the green building programs or standalone net zero energy projects. We talked about the embodied carbon. A lot of builders are starting to focus on that. But we can collaborate to see, you know, where are the opportunities to reduce the embodied carbon in a building? It may be through the use of our products, but it may be through, you know, actually building with different kinds of materials or in different ways. And it can be us just understanding what customers are trying to get done so that we can kind of go back to our laboratories and figure out how can we bring new products to market that really speak to what they're trying to get done? And there's some really exciting stuff going on in that area with our company, with our customers. We just introduced a really exciting new product called Foamula or NGX, which is like a next generation extruded polystyrene foam mm-hmm. product. And with that product, it's got a dramatic reduction in the greenhouse gas associated with the blowing agents that create the cells in that polymer insulation. And that is in direct response to the growing desire for customers to reduce the embodied carbon of the buildings that they're building. And so through understanding what architects, engineers, specifiers were trying to get done, to understand what we're trying to get done with our environmental footprint reduction, and to understand sort of where the regulatory landscape was heading, we took the opportunity through several years of development that I'm really proud of, because this really has a positive impact on our sustainability goals, to introduce that product just recently to the market. So examples like that. We also have examples where we're introducing products that can directly protect buildings in that, you know, wildlife urban interface that I talked about. I think all of us have watched in real dismay the impact of the fires out west in the United States, and so that's things like that, episodic challenges have us kind of looking at ourselves and saying, you know, what products can we bring to market that would address those kinds of things. And for that specific one, we're working on, a continuous insulation system using mineral wool, which is a fire resistant, fireproof kind of synthetic fiber product that, can create fire hardening for those structures. So, collaboration is, the awesome sort of best way to work with customers to understand what they're trying to do and get it done. The other way we do it is through our transparency documentation, through environmental product declarations, health product declarations, our LCAs, life cycle assessments that we do for customers, and ultimately third-party certifications of our sustainability attributes. So many different ways, but direct collaboration is like the gold standard for getting things done together.
Well, wow, it is so exciting to hear all the interesting things you guys are accomplishing and putting into place. So Frank, as we record this Listening Lounge episode, I mean, the country is truly experiencing a period of historic weather events, like you just mentioned, including fires and hurricanes. Gosh, I think Zeta might be the fifth hurricane hitting the Gulf Coast, as well as tropical storms. But how is climate change impacting Owens Corning approach to innovating sustainable solutions?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's an exciting one. It's one that we want to be able to say that it's having a massive impact, that our understanding of the sort of secular trends in the world, whether it's energy efficiency or climate change challenges, rising seas, whatever, that those challenges are informing the opportunities for us. One of the kind of cool things about sustainability that is quite different than sort of any of the other business processes, certainly in our company, and I would say probably in all companies, it's pretty rare to have business goals or business plans. Even, when we say long-term or long-range planning in a company, that's normally like 3 years, maybe 5 years. When we set sustainability goals, they are, as people all often call them, 10-year goals or long-term goals. And by having the opportunity to think about what is going to matter, 5, 8, 10 years from now, puts you in a kind of a different place than traditional strategic planning, where you're wondering and trying to game out where this market is going to be in 3 years. So it creates a sort of a different dynamic, and that dynamic kind of plays out in the way we think about innovation in that space, to kind of fall into, I think about them as kind of like two buckets. One is focused on climate change mitigation. So you talked about the storms and all that. Those are all happening for a reason, right? And that reason is, the changing climate, driving more severe storms, warmer temperatures in the oceans, slowly rising oceans. So the mitigating of the drivers for that are, around CO2 reduction and energy efficiency and that. So when I think about the two big buckets, mitigation is one of those. And an example that we just gave around the new Foamular NGX product is a great example of mitigating one of the big levers that is driving climate change, and that is, reducing the opportunity to reduce CO2 emissions. And that drives our innovation focus to try to figure out how can we bring better solutions to the market that help our customers mitigate the greenhouse gas emissions associated with that climate change. The other big bucket is adaptation, right? So how can we adapt to these storms, whether it's the fires out west that we talked about, and adapting by building more fire-hardened solutions. It could be adapting to the severe storms by creating roofing systems that are more resistant to severe storms, whether they're higher wind speed or hail or other kind of hurricane impacts. So adapting our structures to that. And we've got some really exciting work going on in our composites business around this, both mitigation and adaptation, as well as the work we've talked about already in the building space, particularly with material systems that allow concrete to be its life to be extended through greater durability through the use of fiberglass reinforcing bar in that concrete, replacing steel so that bridges and infrastructure can last longer. Concrete is a very big driver for CO2 emissions. So if you can either reduce the amount of concrete that is used in structures, infrastructure could be buildings, roads, bridges, whatever. So if you can reduce the amount or make it last longer, you kind of get that adaptation and mitigation both. So that's the way it kind of informs our innovation, mapping and portfolio, trying to figure out how can we help customers to make advances in these areas in places that maybe weren't economically possible before.
Yeah, well, you definitely caught my attention when I heard, when I read, 2030 is around the corner when it comes to your sustainability yes. goals overview. And it's like, wow, you know what? You're totally right. Time does fly very quickly. So Frank, how does Owens Corning partner with other stakeholders vested in sustainability?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about that earlier. We do it through partnering and through collaboration. Like I said, there is nothing more powerful and fun and engaging than to work directly with other folks who are of like mind trying to achieve similar goals, right? So we're a materials company. We provide insulation and roofing and composites. In virtually all cases, our products go into somebody else's product. It goes into, a building that is being built. It goes into a car that is being built, a wind turbine. In all cases, whoever is kind of the customer of our customer of our product, sometimes it's the customer of the customer's customer down that line. they are trying to get something done. They may be trying to make a car go farther on a, an EV charge, or they're trying to make a building consume less energy, or they're trying to reduce the embodied carbon of that building. Whatever they're trying to get done, when we can kind of sit in the room now virtually, as we're kind of all doing here, virtually sitting in the room together, which actually is working really good for us, because you can collaborate around the world instantaneously and you don't have to jump in airplanes. So, this collaboration, on shared goals and trying to understand how we can help each other attain that is the best way, I think, of kind of partnering to advance the business of our customers and also to advance our kind of collective sustainability goals. So we do that with customers. We also do it with non-governmental organizations or NGOs, and this is in an area of sustainability that we really haven't talked about, and that's kind of community engagement. So we partner with NGOs like the United Way or Habitat for Humanity or the Gary Sinise Foundation that focuses on providing homes for wounded veterans, and so the NGO connection is another great way to collaborate with folks that have shared aspirations or shared goals. And then I'd say that the third way is kind of through industry or trade organizations, which you can often find shared alignment or shared goals. And in the sustainability space, a good example of that would be the folks that work every day to create the standards around things like the environmental product declarations and what companies should be doing to provide some uniformity of standards reporting. So there's some examples of kind of what works best, I think, in that space.
Yes. Well, it is great that through technology we can, quote unquote, sit in the room together. I will be very excited when we can sit in the room together, like physically.
Yeah, I think that would be terrific. And but you know, one of the things that I've said about this whole thing, and you know, the pandemic has been such a, you know, a personal disaster for so many people that have lost loved ones. But one of the ways that you always make sense of tragedy like that is to try to figure out, you know, how you can, you know, make things better as a result. And,
oh, definitely.
You know, one of the things that I think is that, you know, we as a society should not let this pandemic go to waste, and look at everything that we've learned along the way, health, safety, pandemic response, collaboration, like everything we've learned, and leverage that to try to make sense of this all and make it so when we look back that there's something good that has come out of this. And I do think global collaboration is one of those things that we'll look back on and say, this probably wouldn't have happened this way were it not forced upon us. I'm an optimist kind of guy. So always looking for, you know, what positive can come out of this.
Oh, I love it. There's no doubt it has created some very interesting opportunities, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to be able to jump on the phone or on Skype with somebody in China that, you know, in my Facebook today, a reminder came up of 7 years ago when I was in India on a project. And I thought, man, that seems like so long ago that you could do that. Yet today, you know, I was just on the phone with somebody, you know, on a Skype call with somebody in India this morning, and it worked just fine. You know,
and you were like, I'm so happy I didn't have to take that plane ride.
Yeah. There's 12 hours they've given back to do something else that's important.
Yeah, that part for sure, especially when you have to go that distance. Frank, as 2021 approaches, how is sustainability informing future innovations at Owens Corning across the business?
Yeah, so I think we've talked a lot about this already. So 2021 is kind of like the inaugural year on the decade towards 2030, right? So the one thing that, I mean, there are several one things, I guess. I've probably said one thing a few times here. But one of the many things to be careful about with sustainability goals is that when you say we've got a 2030 goal, you can kind of be comforted, falsely comforted by the fact that that's a whole decade away. And I've got a lot of time to figure it out, to plan, and to all that. But you know, when you set a 2030 goal, when we set a 2030 goal, then the next thing we do is we say, well, what do we have to get done by 2025? What do we have to get done by 2023? What do we have to get done by 2021? What do we have to get done next week in order to be confident that we're on a path to achieving our 2030 goals? Because if you think about, you know, one of our really important goals, they're all really important, but one of them is to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions from our operations by 50%. So we're a large manufacturing company. We operate in 33 countries around the world. We have energy intense glass furnaces that are, you know, melting glass every day. So lots of capital is invested in the way we operate our business. And if we're going to reduce the environmental emissions, specifically the greenhouse gas emissions, by 50% in 10 years, that suggests we're going to make a lot of changes to the way we make our products. And when you make those changes, there's capital infrastructure that has to happen. So we have to be like creating and ideating and coming up with the solutions today that are going to be put in an operations plan for 2021 that become the capital project that gets completed in 2024, that gets started up in 2025, that allows us to hit our goal. And that has to happen over and over and over again. So 2021 is like the baby step along the way that we have to make progress in every one of these goals to build the confidence and to ensure that we're going to hit these very ambitious goals that we've set for ourselves.
Well, it is so exciting to hear about these ambitious goals. There is no doubt about that. I love it. I think it's exciting to hear. And truly, Frank, it has been an honor to speak with you today. And thank you so much for sharing all of the commitments that Owens Corning has to the industry and the globe as a whole. And we look forward to speaking with everybody next time.
Thanks, Jill. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it and had a lot of fun.
Yes, me too. Thanks again, Frank.